Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Sync for December 3rd, 2019. I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves. First of all, I'm Sean, your host today. Andy, please introduce yourself so everybody can know what voice is yours.
Hi, I'm Andy.
Gordon, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Gordon.
Carl, you're next and last.
I am Carl.
Woo! All right. So we got four people today. Yep. All righty. So, all right. Let's see what we got here for stuff, shall we? I'm really curious about the, hey, Andy, do you think your script, is it hard to change the script to alphabetize based on the repo name?
It's a thing that can be done, but it's not as easy as you might think it would be.
Well, I actually didn't necessarily think it was easy at all. That's why I was asking.
Okay. Yeah, no, I did this.
I'm guessing it's a loop over whatever comes back from the API. Yeah?
Yeah, and it's done asynchronously, so it just kind of reports what it gets back. So I could redo it so it did that, and that's a very good thing for it to do. It would require a little more plumbing and just sorting a list. So
yeah, I figured as much. All right. Well, let's start with the RFCs. 19 days ago, Alex opened an RFC number. It's PR number 155, draft on Pony Runtime's options passing. I would say I'm highlighting this mostly now is I forgot this was here with all the holidays and everything else. Joe left a couple comments on it earlier, so it'd be good if everybody could have a look at this. Not right now. We don't have to discuss it right now, but have a review so that we could take a look at what we have and leave some feedback for Alex. All right. I'm going to tag it for myself to remember to look at later. I don't know, has anybody who's on this taken a look at it yet and have anything they wanted to discuss related to it? I will take that as a no. And I will work on asking that question in a better fashion later. All right, Carl, while we have you here, there's a lot of stuff on the Corral repo that's been going on. Is there anything related to that that you would like to discuss, bring up, or otherwise fill anybody in on?
I think I have addressed most of the to-dos and issues that I had picked out as being required for 1.0. So it's almost ready to call it a beta. I think maybe people could look at it.
I wouldn't be calling it 1.0 at that part, but I believe what we're talking about is usable to replace stable. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Excellent. The test repo that you put some stuff into, the GitHub one, is that in a place yet where I should create Bitbucket and GitLab versions as well?
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Okay.
You could just clone them and then we can adjust the locators that are in there so they point to themselves instead of GitHub.
Well, how about this then? I'll create... do you have Bitbucket and GitLab accounts?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll get those from you, and I'll create the repos under PonyLang and make sure that you have access. Right? I'll go through and set that stuff up, and then you can do whatever it is so that I don't, because I'm not really sure If it's more than just, hey, copy the stuff over and push it, then I might mess it up. So I'll leave that to you. Okay.
Yeah, it'll take me 5 minutes, but yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Okay. For anybody who's listening along, including folks who are on the call, Carl came up with a list of everything we'd need in order to be able to start switching the Pony projects, like the libraries, which are currently using Stable to fetch dependencies, you know, like NetSSL, regex, glob. Some of those are using Stable. To switch those over to using Corral and to be able to start switching over, you know, the directions for those and start recommending that people use Corral rather than Stable going forward. So. All right, pause there. Let's hop along to... let's see, anything, nothing. So many things with zeros. Okay, uninteresting. Okay, pony up. Let's see, we have a couple issues that are opened. Right, ensure storage paths conform to relevant platform standards. Let me ping. This is on number 50 on the Pony Up repo. I ensure that storage paths conform to relevant platform standards. Notice any comments or objections. So for number 50, this was something that Joe raised that Pony Up wasn't, it was putting stuff in .pony.ponyup, which violates the XDG standards of putting stuff in .config, and then under that. I think in general, people who don't care about XDG don't really care whether the stuff goes in .config or not. People who do care generally do care, so the consensus was in Zulip that we should switch that over. Have that switch over before we really start pushing people to use Pony Up. Andy, any objection to that in XDG in general, or Gordon?
None from me.
Oh, sounds good.
Okay.
The only note that I had is on Mac systems, often command line tools follow a Unix pattern instead of OS 10 pattern.
What do you mean by that?
So the XDG spec, so there's a library that's being used there, and I was looking at it the other day, and there's a particular layout for each platform, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
On Macs, and there is a standard place on a Mac to put your application config files under library, you know, application support, etc. But command line tools on the Mac tend to not use that. They'll tend to use the Unix locations for things.
Yes, yes.
Because they're a lot easier to get to without having to deal with directories with spaces in them and stuff. So.
Yes, if anything, put my stuff when I was using a Mac in the non-Unix location for command line tools, I would probably have been furious.
Yeah, so maybe that library that's being developed for that can have a switch when you say you're on the Mac, what kind of app are you? Probably command line for Pony for a while.
Can you leave a comment on issue 50 to that effect?
Yeah, I will do that.
It won't be, it's not of immediate importance because Pony Up is only for Linux systems at the moment, but it's certainly an important thing to note going forward.
Yeah, and I think I would like to use that library in Corral as well. That was one of the reasons I was looking at it, so that it can save its config files and temp files and stuff.
If we're going to be relying on this for a couple of official Pony projects, should we talk to Matthias and see if he'd be willing to turn it into an official Pony one under Pony Lang, where we'd have more control over it? Whereas right now, like he is a blocker on this, right? And should he go away, we would have to fork it, et cetera, and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we should.
Okay. Let me ask a question about that. And the Zulip now is going to donate Honeylang work so it can be used in cleaning up and crap. All right. Question asked on that. In the meantime, I've been started to be harassed by my cat again. So that's good. Hi, Izzy. Hi, Izzy. And you're going to leave a comment on the pony up issue, right? Carl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's see. Okay, great. Oh yeah, wow, you've really blown through the issues to fix there beforehand. All right, I need to buy myself a minute here with the cat. Let's see. Oh, it rolled back to the beginning on that. Okay, scrolling down again because I switched. Channels, corral. All right. Pony C, let's see. Pony C, PR is 34.13. Looks like we have attempting to make sign conversion, turning off the no sign conversion. He said he was more ambitious, but he decided to reduce the scope. I'm not really... So, Andy, have you taken a look at this, or Gordon or Carl, anybody? 34.13?
No.
I haven't looked very closely at it.
So... I would say that the effect of this would be is that there are a few places where there are conversions which are happening in the runtime code where it converts things from signed to unsigned, right? Or vice versa, where you could have an error result of you could have potentially overflow or underflow, and so we had the compiler option set not to issue warnings for that because all our warnings are errors and it wouldn't compile. This change makes it so that it's explicitly doing the same casts, and turning off that option in the make file, or is it? I mean, if it's not turning off the option in the make file, I really don't understand. I'm not sure what we're getting out of this right now. Oh, it doesn't turn the option off in the make file. Okay, so if this was turning the option off in the make file, I could see the value in this in that we would then catch the any additional ones of these going forward, and you know, it could prevent a problem. As it stands with this right now, this is making something that was happening already, and it's doing it. It looks like it's doing it explicitly now rather than just having the implicit conversion. I'm not sure that this is any better. I mean, if we thought that these things were problematic, and we make them explicit like this, it would be harder to find them in the future than at the moment. Without this change, if you turn off, if you were to remove the no sign conversions warning so that it starts giving those again, you would be able to locate all of these and potentially decide how you might want to address them or if you want to address them at all. Does that make sense? Andy, I'm going to ask you because we talk about weird things like this a lot.
Sorry, can you just repeat that first part?
So there are a bunch of conversions from where it goes from signed to unsigned. There is a option that we have. There's an option with the compiler where the compiler will normally warn when you're doing this, and all warnings for us are errors in the code base, so it would fail. So we run with the make option to make these not errors, right? Mm-hmm. This change just continues to have it run so that these aren't errors, but it takes some of these, and if I'm reading this correctly, it's being explicit. I would have to check closer, but it looks like it's explicitly doing the conversions rather than
letting them be implicit.
Implicit, and I'm not sure that would be a good thing if it's doing what I think it's doing. I'd have to look at them closer, but I think that's what it's doing with each of these. All right. I mean, that would actually make them harder to find.
Is create some macros that you would use to wrap these conversions, and then you can decide what to do on the platform or whether to make the macros a cast or not.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Could you comment on 3413 to that effect, Carl?
Okay.
By the way, when I'm asking you to comment, are you in your car right now where this would be a hard thing to do?
Yes, I'm in my car. I have to remember all these things.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do because I'm not in your car, right? I'm going to send you on Zulip. I'm going to send you messages with the ones that you said that you would comment on. How's that?
Perfect. Perfect.
Does that help?
Yes.
All right. So I just sent one.
Starting next week, I'll be at work and I'll be able to be on my computer.
Is that because of the change in time?
Yeah.
Look at how smart I am putting things together every now and then. Okay. All right. Boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. Next. Oh, bugger. Yeah, the one problem with putting them in the thing here, Andy, is every time I go to leave a comment somewhere else in Zulip, I have to scroll all the way back down. All right. So let's see here. What do we have? We did 30. Okay. 3401. Wait, this was me. Hold on. What? Was this never merged? Oh, okay. Release building from Circle CI to Cirrus CI, 3401. Gordon, I asked you if you could give this a review. Did you see that? Did you have it? I'm guessing no.
Yeah, sorry, I missed that. It looks good to me just from reading it just now.
Okay, I'm gonna merge this. In all likelihood, because I touched a whole bunch of release stuff between this and something else that hasn't been tested yet, I expect the release when I do it is going to blow up in some fashion, but because it's like really hard, you know, the only way to test it is to test it really with all the moving parts. But hey, that's a step in the right direction. All right. Step in the right direction. Okay. Let's see. 3320 LOVM9. Any progress with that, Gordon, or still at the same place?
Yeah, I haven't been able to look at the exception handling stuff in Linux.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully we can get, let's see. I'm going to screw myself by switching to Tribute to Pony. New LVM9. Could use a hand in helping finish off support. And I have. I'm asking in the Contribute to Pony Zoo if I doubt anything will come of it, but you never know, you know? How about 3234, CMake?
Yeah, it's working on macOS, it's working on FreeBSD, it's working on Linux, and now it's failing on Windows with this stupid error in the hash function in PonyRT, so I'm still trying to track that down. I'm like, it doesn't happen in the old build or in the current build system, so I'm like, I've tried to make sure that all the compiler options are all the same and everything, but for some reason this crash comes up.
So it's an intermittent assertion.
I think it's actually not intermittent. It's just that the compiler sometimes compiles things in different orders, and in one particular situation, it shows up. So
Is it possible that it was perhaps deterministic somehow before with the other build system?
I don't know. It's an error in PonyC itself when you try to compile standard library. Sometimes it compiles things in a different order, and I don't know. I haven't investigated to find out why it's doing that.
So it's in hash.c. So this happens when it's compiling?
Yes. Yeah, when it's compiling the standard library tests.
So it hits an assertion and whoa, that's a bad assertion.
Yeah, when it's resizing a hash table, sometimes it's got like duplicate entries in it or something. I'm assuming it's a memory corruption thing, but I have.
Whoa, that's not good. Yeah, that's a bad one.
I was able to reproduce it, but I didn't really have any more insight to what was going on. It does seem like a memory corruption problem, and maybe it's exposing a latent bug just because things are being linked in a different order, or
because of where this is, Gordon, I would suggest you ping Dippin. He might have, if he has any time, he might have some insight.
Okay, thanks. I'll do that.
He's certainly the person who, since Sylvan first wrote this stuff, Dippin touched an awful lot of the hash stuff when he was changing how it works a couple years ago. I don't know if he would have anything, but if anybody would have an insight into something that could possibly be going on there, you know, beyond just starting to dig in, if anybody might have a flash aha, then it would, Dippin is the person who might have a flash of aha.
Okay, thanks. I'll ping him.
Alrighty. Okay, that all right, that looks like all of the That looks like all of the all of those. So let's check out some issues here. Remind Windows users to add compiler to path 3410. Sorry, 30. Wow, that was really bad. 3414, issue 3414 on the Pony C repo. Yes, Gordon, that means the Pony C repo. What you have there, that seems like it would be that should be sufficient, yeah, for somebody, I think.
I had been assuming that someone who is building from source would know about setting your path, but anyway, whatever.
It doesn't hurt to for things that we consider obvious. Somebody, like, I think what definitely happened here was in this, the README there in general is kind of messy. I think that that they were like searching for like Windows in there and ended up jumping back and forth between building from source and the install from bintray stuff and ended up in a weird place and kind of had both. I'm not really sure on that, but I think that definitely when we get a pony up just a little bit further along, I want to redo all the installation instructions and like break them out so that, like, you know, you don't have the here's how to install from Windows and here's how to install from Windows from source in the same file. I know that we've had this come up before where people end up mixing up instructions from different ones because they're all bunched together, you know, in the same one. I that could have played a role here or not. So, but this is a fairly easy one to, so I'm putting a enhancement ready for work and help wanted on that. And I will switch over to the, speaking of, 3410, you could take a look at that issue. That's the README installation overhaul. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at it. Theo kind of documented what he and I have been talking about. If you could give it a review here real quick and let me know if there's if you have any problems with it, because otherwise once the XDG issue is closed for Pony Up, we would be doing this.
I'll make a note on the issue that we're waiting for, that issue on Pony Up.
Okay. Hey, Theo, you're here.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I have a joke to make to you later when we're not being recorded anymore.
Oh, good.
Oh, Andy had to hop off, so Andy's not around. Okay. Yeah, Gordon. So have you seen 3410? You okay with this?
Yeah. I just looked at it just now. It looks fine.
Yeah, it's we've had that problem where people come in and it's they've had a really hard time finding the correct instructions to do. Certainly the fact that there are all the Linux ones in there for each of the different ones makes it harder. Pony Up will make that a lot easier, where the only thing they have to install beyond using Pony Up is install GCC. Maybe if they're on Alpine, they have to install libexecinfo and otherwise. But yeah, I'm gonna do an overhaul of it. And hopefully it'll make it easier for folks, where it'd be like, hey, here in the README, if you want to install from source, go here. If you want to install pre-built binaries, here. And then, okay, great. For each of these, if you're on Windows, do this. If you're on Mac OS, do this, et cetera. And hopefully that should make it much easier for folks. 3406. No mention of code of conduct at getting help in README. I think this sounds like a great idea that Eric came up with. We direct people to the Zulip and don't necessarily set any expectations where we have the directions for them to go there for what's expected of them. I added on in the comments to this that maybe not just linking to the code of conduct, but perhaps having a short, quote unquote, plain English thing of basic expectations for how we expect people to act would be good. I know this came up because right around the time the Groxio announced that they were going to be doing Pony, there was an influx of people signing up for the Zulip, and a couple of them were a little dickish. I'll put it that way. They were a little insulting in the way that they put some things, asked some things in a fashion which is, you know, not considered acceptable within the Pony community. So any thoughts on this? Should it just be code of conduct around that? What should we do for where we're first directing people to our support channels for setting some type of expectation, or is it really not worth it at that point to try and set the expectation?
Well, I think having a link to the code of conduct wouldn't hurt, but I'm not sure if you know, a short blurb saying, you know, please be respectful is, I don't know if it's worth the effort really at that point, but who knows.
You're saying that anybody who needs to be told that is going to be anyway?
Yeah, especially like if we
that sounds like such a me thing to think, and I'm the one who suggested doing something else.
Yeah. I wish I was less cynical about this.
Yeah, well, I guess you spent time on the internet.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, I suppose I could see this, that having an effect on, do you remember in the IRC, like a few years ago, there was the screen name that was,
I think I know what you're talking about.
For somebody who was from China, man or woman, I don't really know which, but they would come barging in and be insulting because they had learned that if they asked things politely in other channels, they would get ignored. But if they were insulting, people would respond to them, right? I guess it could help in that case, but that we only saw that once. So, Gordon, thoughts?
Yeah, it seems good. I have to duck out for my work meeting now.
Okay.
Maybe a little blurb about etiquette and how to ask good questions. I don't know. Some people don't think about it. And this might help. But...
Good. Questions. I would be down for that as long as it's not that as long as it's not the how to ask questions things that Eric Raymond wrote. And I'm willing to be recorded saying that I think that how to ask questions how to ask questions list sounds like it was written by a raging dick. And sending people to that particular list as part of a hey, how to be respectful, I think sets a really bad example.
Yeah, that might be a bit counterproductive.
So we'd want to use something else. Yes, for if and when that comes around. Okay. Feels good. I tagged that with help wanted and enhancement. Let's see. Let me go drop that in. Small documentation update. Let's see. No. Wait, get started. Okay. All right, get cross-compilation job set up with vendor LLVM. So yeah, I opened this up. This is 3402. I opened this up so we could see if somebody would pick it up. When we switch over to the Circle CI, when we switch off of Circle CI, and when we switch off of Circle CI and the stuff where we switch to CMake is done for a first pass, we would not be doing the cross-compilation stuff. The cross-compilation stuff was all set up to not use vendored LLVM, so we're going to need to switch over to vendored LLVM. That's what this issue is. If there would be work that would need to be done with it. Let's see. Okay, that one doesn't, the bit that happened, that doesn't need to happen. Okay, that's got a minimal example. I'm going to add help wanted, doesn't really need anything else. In case people didn't see, issue 3140, there will be a fix for the bug for issue 3140 that will be in LLVM 9.0.1. So when we have LLVM 9 support, and then we can switch over to LLVM 9.0.1, which will probably arrive before we have LLVM 9 support, that bug will be fixed, which is very nice. Thank you, Sam, who helped get that included in the 9.0.1 for that. And to, what is it? Is it M Shockwave? Is that their GitHub username? Yes, M Shockwave, who came up with the, who diagnosed and came up with the patch. Thank you very much as well, if you end up listening. Let's see. Pony tutorial. Ooh, we got a number of issues here. We'll be moving on to that in a minute. So let's see. Issue 408, right? Runtime basics to the tutorial. This is looking good from 14 days ago. This looks like it's in good place for Ryan if he continues picking this up. I'm going to ask Ryan if he has all the info he needs. All the info we need. Okay. 324 on the Pony tutorial, make unary and binary operator precedents more clear. This is one that Joe opened on October 3rd of 2018. And then Ryan commented on 15 days ago, there was a brief statement to this effect in operator precedence. I could reasonably add a repetition of the comment in the that follows the above mentioned. Let's see, that sounds like a good idea to me. You following along, Theo?
Yes.
So Ryan's suggestion here in 3324 sounds good to me. What about you?
It sounds good to me as well. I've seen a few issues where this has come up that people have gotten a bit confused about operator precedence.
Yeah, I think mentioning it in more than one place is good. Boom. Okay. 281, more real world example in destructive read documentation. I'm going to fix the spelling of documentation while I see it. Let's see, 15 days ago, there's currently an example of using destructive read, using an ISO later in the tutorial, the Twitter thread. Here's these cases. Oh, wow. Okay. Thoughts on this, Theo? I mean, basically, I felt like, you know, that the ISO and destructive one would be, that's, you know, like what's done with, you know, the fields and destructive, that feels more like a pattern to me rather than a tutorial thing. That's, you know, that's kind of an awful complicated real world one. I think, maybe, you know, the map thing make more sense. Anything to weigh in on that?
I'm going to read through some of this.
All right.
Yeah, I see the example later down the tutorial of the aardvark wombat example seems sufficient for what I would expect to be in the tutorial when explaining it, but maybe adding the, you know, the simple map example would be fine, maybe, possibly, but in a lot of cases it does seem more like a pattern than what should be in the tutorial. Especially since destructive read, in my opinion, doesn't come up often. Like, it's very important to know how it works, but there are only very particular situations where it's necessary to know about it.
Could you comment to that effect?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Cool. All right. Let's see. What else do we have? Giving you a chance to comment while I look here. So the next one will be 216, if def not documented in the tutorial. Okay, Joe commented a couple hours ago. I think this is, this is a help wanted for that. Okay, 210. See what's happened on this lately. And Ryan's asking for permission to do a larger reform on the content of appendices compiler args for most useful options to the subpage. I would say yes. Ryan, reformat away. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Chapter on collections. I'm still not a big fan of this.
I can see why. You might want this, of course, the range example is often brought up, that to many people when they're writing example programs, it seems strange they have to import the collections package to do something like iterate over a sequence of numbers. But
my thing more of this is I've said this before, I'll say it again, I think a introduction to the standard library is fine and reasonable. Yeah. I'm not sure that should be part of the tutorial. I think that it could be a thing like patterns that we direct people to immediately after the tutorial, right? Hey, here's a tutorial for that. It could even be part of the tutorial right now, is we have stuff in the tutorial, which I don't think is particularly tutorial-esque, right? Like, for how the tutorial is, I'm not really sure, like, how do I debug, you know, how do I use the debug thing, you know, to get debug output? I don't really think that's necessarily tutorial, right? That's like, hey, you've read the tutorial is, so an introduction to the standard library, depending on how we break it down, could be part of the tutorial, could not be, but I think it would be, it's an introduction to the standard library, right? It shouldn't be repeating everything that's in all the documentation that's already there for the standard library. Be more like a guided tour of, this is what's in the standard library so that you can, and what you might use it for, so that you can then go look at the documentation for these different things to learn more. Like, I think that would make sense.
I wonder what would be included in that. Like, for example, would every package in the standard library require, you know, some mention in this, or would it just be, you know, quote unquote more common packages like collections or iter tools or something?
I think it's the more common ones, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to add my thoughts, all right? Okay, I'm leaving my comment to that effect. If you have anything to add, please have at it. Okay, looks like Ryan's good on that. On the next one. All right. I think we're at the end. Except for mutable and sendable pony patterns, right? 41. If anyone has anything else they can add there for Travis, we haven't seen him in a while. But if he does come back, if there's anybody other than me who has any review stuff to leave for him, that would be great. And I will have... oh, wow, it's just you and I now. We lost Carl, too. I have 4 new pony patterns, 3 of which are done, one of which I need to finish. There, it's a code sharing pattern section, right? And I need to write the overview for it. The one I need to work on now is the mix-ins one, right, which is how to use how to simulate something that's like a mix-in. Using default implementations, but also then having methods which you implement in the actual class, which return a field of a certain type, right? And that method can be called within a trait or, you know, within a default implementation in order to have mix in like stuff. Also have there's one on how you can simulate inheritance for stateless things using default implementations on traits and interfaces, right?
Okay.
Doing that. And 2 others that I can't remember. Oh, the notify pattern, right? The callbacks notify pattern, which comes up a lot. And something else that I don't remember right now. But if I was to go look, I would. Anyway, the 4 things that come up, like, varying amounts when people are asking about stuff like that, right? To hopefully help people, you know, going forward some more.
All right, sounds good.
Yep.
I'll make a note to review this one and also yours in the future.
Yes. Indeed. I'll be opening it once it's I'm just like, you know, I'm writing them all together. They refer to each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, hey, but if you're interested in doing blah, then you probably want this other pattern, not this one, right?
Yeah, and that's definitely very useful.
Yeah, because they're all like, most of those are interconnected in some fashion. Like the notify one says, this works really, you know, in the discussion, it's like, this works really well unless you need to send messages to the notify object, which now this no longer works as the pattern, right? If that's what you want to be able to do, then the mix-in pattern is what you're going to want to end up using, right? And, you know, they all refer around to each other like that because, well, depending on what you're trying to accomplish is a different thing you need to do. So, all right. I think that's it. You got anything to,
I think that's all for me.
Okay, cool. All right then. I'm going to stop recording now. Thank you everyone for coming along.